Alright, we'll start in the middle. So the third halacha doesn't seem to make any sense. Why can't he come a tamid to a mace? So Rav Hanan Leibowitz says because a nazir year is appreciating his newfound respect for closest to God. And we're going to talk about that in a second. And therefore, you know what? We don't want him to lower himself by the sort of the mortality and the thing. We want him to feel this connection, to motivate himself, and to become greater. And that's the first question. A nazir, is it good or is it bad? Is it the best? Is it ideal? Or is it not? So why are you shaking your head? Why is it not ideal? Oh, very good. You're restricting yourself. And especially you're restricting yourself from what?
Natural.
From things that already are allowed. We already have enough things that we're not allowed to do. So why would I want to add another thing in? You know, I'm learning with this police officer who's converting. So he's telling me that in the Chicago police, so it's a big thing that they go out to lunch. Before their shift, they all go out to lunch together. So they go out to eat meat. So I said, you know, soon you're going to have to ask yourself if you want to be fleshic in the middle of the afternoon. It's a big deal because you can't have coffee later. So I said, I personally, unless I'm going to like a lunch meeting, there's no way I'm going to be fleshic in the middle of the afternoon. It's not worth it for me. So he says, don't worry, I've already stopped eating meat a while ago, but he was well aware of the new 6-hour limitation. So there's a lot of things we can't do. Why do we want to add more things to what we can't do? That's approach number one. And the way to prove that that is correct is the fact that if you turn to the next page, when the Nazir finishes his completion of his Nazirus, halachically we call Stam Nazirus the Shloshim Yom. So if a person just says, I'm a Nazir, so that lasts for 30 days. So what happens when he is done? So if you look in the middle of the Pasuk Yud Dal, Pasuk 14, when he's finished, the Torah tells us, V'krivis karbono l'Hashem, keves ben shenoso tumeh chali olai, he brings his karbon, v'kavso achas ba shenoso tumeh l'chatas. He brings two karbonos, a chatas and a shlamin. But a chatas represents what? Sin, I did something wrong. If we lived in the times of Beis Hamikdash, so we would bring a karbon chatas anytime we did something wrong. Why does he bring a chatas? Because even though it was right and he got close to God, it was wrong. There's other, pick the things that we can't, already we can't do and just don't do those. Why do we have to pick things that that we are allowed to do and yet we're choosing not to do them? That is approach number one. However, so if you look at the sheets, for example, the Ramban. So let's look a little bit differently. Look at the Ramban. The Ramban says the reason for the sin offering brought by the Nazir, the conclusion of his vows, is not stated in the text. Right? It doesn't say why he brings a karma chatas. The rationale explanation appears to be that this man is actually committing a transgression by concluding his vows. For up until now, he's been separated in his holiness and his service of God. It would be more fitting for him to remain a Nazir forever. So according to the Ramban, why is he's not getting a, he's not bringing a karma because he's saying, I'm sorry, I should not have done this. He is bringing a karma because, there you go, because he was so holy. When you're really, really holy and you stop being that holy, then that's a big problem. So that is approach, that is the Ramban. If you look at the Ibn Ezra, for example, says the Ibn Ezra, source number two, there, what does the word Nazir mean? What does it mean, Nazir? It means a crown. Says the Ramban, there are, the Ibn Ezra, there are those that explain the word Nazir is related to the word Nazir, or crown. Understanding says that all people are enslaved to the desires of this world. The true king who wears upon his head the crown of dominion is the one who has achieved freedom from desires. Says Ibn Ezra, what a guy. A Nazir, the same way that you said, come on Nazir, you're going to abstain from wine? If somebody walked into Shul and says, you know what, at Kiddush, I'm not drinking any scotch, would we be like, that's a terrible thing. It's part of the world offers it to you. How could you not partake in it? Or anything is like that. Person wants to abstain from sugar or from too much calories or carbohydrates. We're going to tell him, no, that's the way of the world? Of course not. So this guy, he's not being frumped. Okay? It's too religious, Gina. Yeah. He's not showing off. That's also what I find interesting about the Nazir. There's nobody more fascinating personality-wise than the Nazir, who, like, from opposite extremes. But the Nazir makes us feel uncomfortable. So we'd rather tell him, who are you? You're so frum. You're so frail that you're going to take this upon yourself? And the Torah says, yes, it's okay. It's okay sometimes to say, I'm not doing this. And if you're doing it for the right intentions, matova manayim, it's amazing and it's wonderful and it's inspirational and everybody should do those things. But it's also not okay for us to judge what other people do. And sometimes we do that. Oh, look at him. He's so... Let me ask you a question. Was the Nazir, did the Nazir know all of Shas? Did the Nazir know every Gemara, every Rishon, every Nosei Kalim? No. He could have been an average person who said, this is how I feel connected. And sometimes we look at people who might do things more externally in Judaism and say, they're so from. They wear that, they do this, but they come late to Minyan. Okay. Everybody's got to find their own path. It doesn't mean that one path is better than the other path. And it doesn't mean that you can just become a Nazir and forget about everything else. You can't be a Nazir and then, you know, I don't know, eat treif and murder people and kidnap and everything is okay. But it's both ways. On the one hand, it must be well-intentioned, the right reason, and it's so pure, the Torah says, that you have to bring a chatas because you are so close to God. On the other hand, it's not for us to judge what he's doing. On the other hand, it has to be well-intentioned. And it can't just be that I'm only superficially going about my Judaism. Okay.
In those days, was wine part of any religious ritual?
Yeah. 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 What?
They have
a Nazir. Yeah. No, it was. Not only that, wine also represents... is a social component to it.
Or was it religiously? Like, do they have religious rituals with wine in those days?
The carbonos. Yeah,
sure. Oh, yeah. They wasn't allowed to do those then.
They wouldn't drink those. Yeah. Right. So they're what about Kiddush?
Yeah.
Right. Know, so that's a major discussion. So it's not to say that this guy, a Nazir, was... Right. No, you had Havdalah. Right. There are certain things that you would have to abstain from. It was a major issue.
So was it better, though, to abstain from it?
So that's the question. Meaning, most people, would, except for Shimshon, people weren't a Nazir for their entire lives. So maybe a person did it as a I don't know, for example, like as a rehab kind of process. A person sort of wants to cut himself off from all these other trappings and sort of realign his moral religious compass. And then, okay. But yeah, but there are certain mitzvahs. That's the question. That's all that we're showing to bring up. You're now abstaining from something, right? If you abstain from sugar, I'm not violating any mitzvahs. But if I abstain from wine, how am I hearing Havdalah? Can't even have grape juice. Yeah, can't even have the Moscato. I mean, that's a real problem. If they had that now, there's no way we would have been a Nazir. I mean, now, there's two carbonos. So let me just, I'll share two figures from Rav Hirsch. If you look at the bottom of source number four, Rav Hirsch says, in the bold, it didn't make sense, but the self-isolation with God is called Lahazir Lahashem. One who isolates himself in this manner draws a circle and stands inside it with God. It's not a physical isolation. It's not a hermit's life in the wilderness. It's spiritual isolation. Meaning, there is value to this idea. A Nazir did not give in to peer pressure. He didn't care about how his Shmona Esrei looked. He didn't care that not everybody else wasn't doing what I'm doing. He was separating himself, serving God. And there is even if I'm not going to be said Nazir, there's value to the message of the Nazir, of doing things because I have a relationship with God. Right, we just spent all of Shavuos talking about these things. I have a relationship with God, and therefore I'm going to do the things that make me feel connected. And sometimes we have to be so removed from this world in order to do that. That's why the Nazir's three halachos are all physical. There is no, and you have to daven all day. And the Nazir went to work. The Nazir just didn't look like the rest of his colleagues, and the Nazir just didn't drink whenever. But because of that, he forced himself to be a little bit more isolated spiritually, and there is value to that, even if I'm not a Nazir, to understanding my surroundings and how they influence me. So why does he bring a shlumim then? This we never talked about. He brings a chatas because either he sinned because he should not have done it, or he sinned because he's now leaving this really, really spiritual state. A shlumim is like something you're excited about. Why is he bringing a shlumim? So look at the Ibn Ezra, source number three. It's a great Ibn Ezra. Says Ibn Ezra in the bold, Va'ayo l'shlumim, simcha shehishlim masha nadar. The source three, I'm sorry, first page. In the bold, source Ibn Ezra, there's two Ibn Ezras. The second one, in the bold, simcha shehishlim masha nadar. You know what that means? In one word, shkayach. You did it. We're very proud of you. You said, I'm not going to do this for 30 days, and you did it. It's great. That's amazing. Turn the page. Says this is what Rav Hirsch says. It's a great piece. Her verse says, the culminating point of the offerings which he brings lies in the ayo l'shlamim. This forms the very opposite to his concept of nazir, which led him to withdraw from the general mass of society in such retirement and refraining from the more joyful enjoyments of life to get near to God and work on himself. So Rav Hirsch says at the bottom, but the bottom line is that with this, with fuller and stronger force, purified and elevated to carry out the tasks of life indicated by God, and he has made himself known by his withdrawal, and he has now had to distinguish himself in a noble, flawless strength as a model example. So because he did it, we say, we're very proud of you. In Judaism, sometimes we don't get that. It's always, I didn't do this, I should have done this, and there's very much value to that, and tshuva, and understand. But sometimes we should say, good job.
Was he allowed to marry?
What I mean, during his...
While he was in his
do you know you asked that question last year? You asked the question last year. Yeah, it's a Gemara. Yeah. I think the I have to look. I'm not sure.
Don't they drink wine under the
cook? That you can get around. You can get around.
Just to say, doesn't it?
But I think yes. I think so. But I have to check. Yeah, Judy.
It seems like he's modeling himself kind of like a Kohen Gadol in a smaller.
In a certain way, yeah. He's
so
that a Kohen, yeah.
Is he getting this, like, dugma, you know, if it's not from...
Yeah. Well, a Kohen is isolated from the rest. He sits in the base of Mikdash, and he's 100%. So this idea of feeling good, so look what I share with you here. You know, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ezehu Ashir, everybody knows what's the answer. Okay, so what does that mean? What does it mean? So we are always taught, it means whatever God gives me, does that apply to spirituality or not? Do I apply to spirituality or not? So, if you look at the bottom here, some believe. So, we learn Shavapisha Lamanu Shekinyan Hatsemeh Mechelko Rotzlam Mechelko Bator Mekomalkom Pashut Tzarich Liosameh Mechelko. He should be happy. Masha Over Allah Binyanei HaOlam. Now, obviously, doesn't mean that you can't learn more, but you should feel proud about the learning and about the especially like after Shavuos. If you're starting to share with you one more source, but if you we should feel excited. This is a machlokas between two achronim. When I say Sameh Bechelko, does that mean I should feel good, like I learned and I'm happy about what I accomplished? Or, no, you have to, you know, that applies to physical stuff and to the material world, but otherwise you should always be moving forward. But it's important. It's important that we sometimes step back. You know, we had a great Shavuos, we had a great crowd. We should feel proud of the learning Torah that we did. It doesn't mean that we should stop learning Torah, but it means we should feel good, you know, when before... the term vidoy that we do in Yom Kippur, so the term in the Torah is not vidoy for I'm sorry, it's called vidoy maisros or maaser, but you know, maiser. So is I would proclaim that I did the right thing. I make a declaration, I took this stuff out of my house, I gave off what I was supposed to, I'm confessing that I did what I was supposed to do. So if Pinchas says that before Rosh Hashanah, when we do Vidu and Yom Kippur, we're not just saying, I'm sorry, we're saying, no, also look at what I did over the course of the year. Look at the stuff that I accomplished, look at the good that I did and that I learned. Okay, so take the, we'll move on a little bit. So that's the Nazir. The next piece in the Torah, if you turn to page 762, is the Birchas Kohanim, which in other years we spoke about, so we'll just briefly recap that it's important to know that these are actually not three brachos. We give a shir on Shavuos. I mentioned that Birchas Kohanim that we say in davening is really modeled, Sim Shalom is modeled after Birchas Kohanim. What we ask for in Sim Shalom is really what we're asking for in Birchas Kohanim, and that's similar language. But if you look at the Torah, it says the following, page 762, Pasuk 22. You should bless the Bnei Yisrael. Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha, bless them, may Hashem bless you and watch over you. Yo'er Hashem Panav Eilecha Vichuneka, Hashem should illuminate you and be gracious. And Yisrael Hashem Panav Eilecha V'yaseim Lecha Shalom. But if you go back, you should just know these are not three brachos, these are six brachos. How are they six brachos? Each bracha has two parts to them. And it's important to understand what those two parts are. So let's look back again. Right, so it says, Yivarecha Hashem, the Yishmerecha. Rashi says that what does it mean, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmarecha? So Rashi says that God should bless us and should give us, you know, monetary success, okay? So what are we asking Hashem to safeguard us from then? What are we asking Hashem to safeguard us from? So what's v'yishmarecha? So if God gives me money and he gives me stuff, I shouldn't become either too materialistic, I should use it only for good. It needs a safeguarding. I mean, if you just ask for money, and money poured out from the heavens, and then you said thank you and used it all to, I don't know, for yourself, so that would be no v'yishmarecha. So we're asking for things, but we're asking Hashem to help us along the way. Let's go to the next one. Yair, Hashem panav ilecha v'chuneka. This is also important. After we ask for material blessings, we ask for spiritual fulfillment. That also shouldn't get out of hand. We should never use our religious perspectives to demean others and not be a positive influence in the world. So as much spirituality as I'm getting, I'm using it in the right direction. And finally, Yisrael Hashem panav ilecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. And we end by asking, not physical and spiritual, what is shalom? No. Right, harmony. Shalom is harmony. It's peace, not in the peace sense of like, you know, peace sign, everybody should love each other. It means harmony. What am I asking to harmonize? My spiritual, my physical, all that God gives me. So that's why I mentioned that in the bracha and Sim Shalom and Shmon Esrei, what we're really asking for is not just that I should have a lot of money and I should also daven well. Number one, I'm asking that it should be one. That my life has one vehicle. I use my spiritual, I use my physical all towards one. That's what we talk about, the guf and the neshama also. But I'm also asking that I am aligned with God's will. That by the end of my davening, I'm at harmony. I'm at harmony with what God wants from me. I'm at harmony with what I'm supposed to be davening for. I'm what I'm supposed to be doing, with my life. Okay, that takes us to page 766. If you look at 766, what you'll notice, why Parshas Naso is famous is because Naso is the longest Parsha. So, go back to 764 for 1 second. I just want to share with you one idea. Starts here. This is the lady that we're familiar with from, very good, Chanukah. Okay, from Chanukah. Now, look at the pasuk. The pasuk starts. Let's share with you two. Va'yiba yom kalos Moshe lahakim es hamishkan va'yimshach aso va'yekadesh aso v'yaskol kilav. This is it. We're done, right? Moshe is basically getting ready to go, and the pasuk says that Moshe is finishing the mishkan. He anoints it v'yaskol kilav va'yimshachem v'yekadesh aso va'yakrivu nisiyei Yisrael rashei beis avosam. And what does he? They do. The nisiyim take all of the stuff. And they begin to really make this, to make this journey. If you look at the bottom, last pasuk, Livnei Kahas Lona Son, they had nothing.